You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Not a sexy bottom third.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Also, yep, I would love to take back the phrase sexy bottom third. I would love to have not said that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Get a fixed rate in the low.
Is my mic on, Beards? Are we live? Awesome. Awesome work. What happened there?
So I didn't put music into the Card Express, and so when I hit the button, it went, oh, there's not something here. I'll just play one of the ads that's loaded up. And I went, oh, wait, that's weird. So get a fixed, well, right in the threes.
Oh, I thought it was the twos. Is it the threes?
I think it was the threes.
Let's find out. Keep the music rolling and just play the beginning of that commercial again.
Get a fixed rate in the low threes.
Oh, you're right. Low threes. Oh, that's good. Also, part of this is my fault because I was all over the place during the commercial, and Beards was antsy. I was having some conversations that didn't involve me being back in this chair. You win some, you lose some. Good work, Beards, on the production.
Thank you. Now I just got to fill out. We had 5 minutes breaks. Now I just have to make it to where it's not five.
Hey, why don't we let the people listen to some of our new promos that you've made already and definitely haven't been sitting on for, 6 months.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing on the TV?
I don't know.
The DirecTV is just going haywire, and it's a bunch of green stuff, and I have to change it, otherwise I will absolutely have a seizure.
Oh, no.
Oh, Cavs-Raptors. Excellent.
That's what I just thought.
Okay. You're losing me for the rest of the show.
Is Cavs-Raptors starting right now?
Yeah. They're both of the games tonight. So Cavs-Raptors starts at 5 for whatever reason.
Is that following us today over here?
No, it's starting right now.
Are we not cutting into it or joining it?
No.
I'm surprised we're doing
Frank
the show.
White.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. And then Philly-Boston is at 7:30.
Is that over here tonight?
No. Not that I know of.
We've been bumped for KU softball. So getting bumped for NBA playoff game wouldn't have bothered me.
May 3rd. Nope. No basketball, but there is basketball tomorrow night on ESPN Kansas City. Oh, no, that's on 8:10. Never mind.
There is... All right, just play the music, damn it.
Hang on.
There is an NBA game on over here sometime this week. I was going to tweet about it. Oh, it's on Saturday. So tonight, yeah, follow us at the Frank White Show. And tomorrow night...
Oh, no. Computer, no. Don't seizure.
Tomorrow night is KU versus West Virginia in baseball.
You remember I was saying the computer was having a seizure last week?
Yeah.
It just did it again.
The commercial computer?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, go ahead and restart that bleep. Now's as good a time as any.
That's true. Okay.
I can talk for 20 minutes.
Yep, go ahead. Keep talking.
I have 21 unread emails, and I just want to punch myself in the face. Also, I'm on a website right now, kcrawhoney.com. Not currently a sponsor, but man, they should be. And there's a thing on the site that says, have allergies? Click here. And I've never smashed a link quicker than that. The active ingredient in honey is pollen. If you cannot tolerate the levels of fructose in honey, consider taking pollen for allergies. What? You can just buy pollen? What? Best cure for allergies. I'm a firm believer in fasting. Oh, that's not going to happen. What's the logic behind that, you think?
Behind what? Fasting?
Fasting to cure your allergies.
That I have no idea.
Like, you know,
I was going to say, taking pollen makes sense.
Yeah, my
that's
eyes
like building
hurt.
Up immunity.
My eyes hurt. I wish I was also super hungry.
Sure. Totally makes sense.
Wildflower honey is your best variety for allergies. That doesn't make sense. It potentially has pollen spores from spring through fall. Honey is a solution that does not correct issues with your immune system. It's like allopathic medicine. It gets you feeling better. The active ingredient in honey is pollen. If you cannot tolerate the level of fructose, then consider taking pollen for allergies. For Laura Roco honey, I can call or text Jeffrey, and Jeffrey's phone number is here.
Okay, the ad computer has started back up.
That's good.
Yay.
Oh man. I get an 8-ounce bottle for $5. And it's in one of those cute little bears. I also thought that's kind of messed up, though. The fact that we put honey in bear-shaped bottles.
It's a Winnie the Pooh thing would be my guess.
Well, there's bears and honey is a long, you know, long thought out.
Sure, but that's like the
thing.
The media or the cultural reference for that.
I think it's going to predate. Okay, all right, give me some music again. My thought, though, is they should be in B-shaped containers. Being in bear-shaped containers is kind of messed up.
Did you see the B-movie? They have like...
Oh, you're right. That's a part of the B-movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is the logic in the B-movie?
I don't remember. I saw it once and it was on an airplane.
I saw the movie once and I've seen the memed version of the movie 1,000 times. I think a lot of different B-movie memes.
Do you want the music?
Why? Yes. Why is honey in bear bottles? I think I found the answer, but I gotta scroll down. This references Winnie the Pooh. According to a website that I can't pronounce, the practice started in 1957 when Ralph Gamber, future president of the Dutch Gold Honey Company, was looking for a unique honey container and reasoned that a bear likes honey. Why not a bear of honey?
That makes sense.
He applied for a patent. Someone else applied for a patent several years before Gamber. But Gamber's company popularized it. Did you know the honey bear jar has a name?
I did not. What's the name of the honey bear
jar? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the fall of 2007, Dutch Gold held a naming contest for the honey bear, and the Gamber family selected Nugget from among the entries.
Nugget the honey bear. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The honey bear jar, I should say.
No, the honey bear is the jar.
Okay.
It says they're sold out of one pound of fresh frozen pollen. How do you consume? Do you snort it? I'm doing that already. Also, this honey isn't in stores, but I can call them and go pick it up. This feels like drugs. If I call someone and ask them to pick up some pollen, I feel like that's got to be a code word for some sort of drug. Store-bought honey, ?
Christopher asks in the comment section, with the bear name.
Yeah.
Not Aunt Bermima? Bear Mima?
It sounds like it was a pretty good joke, pretty terribly delivered.
Yeah.
Aunt Bermima was
like
the inflection you needed to hit it.
An 8 out of 10 joke, probably like a 3 out of 10 delivery.
Yep.
4, maybe.
Yeah, I would say 4.
Okay.
8 out of 10 joke, 4 out of 10 delivery.
I'll take it. It's not my joke.
I feel like it's worth at least another run. Christopher in the comments says, not air... Oh, damn!
Ha!
That's a 1 out of 10.
Oh, jeez. You like... when you were... So it's like the...
Spit it out!
I can't think of what I'm thinking about now.
Oh, my God. You can't think about what you're thinking about.
What's the Summer Olympics gymnast event where like they run up and they jump on the trampoline or whatever? And they are...
You just threw the microphone away from himself. The floor routine? The pommel horse?
Maybe. It was like basically you were running up to the pommel horse and you just crashed right into it. I tripped on the trampoline, so. Probably the vault. Yeah. Thanks, Christopher.
The vault.
That's probably what it was.
Comment from Christopher says, not Aunt Bermima. It still screwed it up. We will talk. We will talk about Matt Ryan's deal as soon as we're done. As soon as we're done trying to deliver bad jokes. Oh man, I just got a. I just got like a launching of tickling up my nose and then pain in my eyes. This is horrible. And you may think I'm complaining about this a lot, and you would be right. But this
almost
is the first
entirely complaining.
It's true. This is the first time that I've had to manage this while always being in a live microphone, which is a change of pace.
Do I need to turn your mic off so that you can sneeze into the, or are we just going to go with it? Oh, wow.
That was a slow burn.
The face that you made as you were winding up to sneeze looked like you were about to burst into tears. It was incredible. There was just this half second of, it looks like you were just about to cry like a baby. Just like that loud. And it was just amazing.
If you're not watching this show on Facebook, you should be.
You absolutely are missing out.
Matt Ryan got a 5-year.
Now you are crying.
$150 million deal. Now this is going to... Yeah, this is putting tears in my eyes. What was it? Yeah, 5 years, $150 million. I'm not okay with letting the comment section determine when we play our sound bites and when we don't. But I think Christopher's on to something. We need another. This is going to be the Oh Boy Show or You Boy Show.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to get another You Boy for me here. Matt Ryan signs a 5-year, $150 million deal.
You Boy.
That's an appropriate time for using that.
Also, the entire first hour.
Oh, 100%.
That's like the pinnacle level.
Yeah. But it also works here in an incredibly different context. Because Matt Ryan is the NFL's first $30 million a year player. And Matt Ryan is a very good quarterback. He's not Derek Carr. I'm not making him Kirk Cousins. Matt Ryan might be in a category much his own. Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford. You know, as a player, maybe it's Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson. These are guys that I think are very, very good quarterbacks that I would not give $30 million a year to. Again, they're guys like I would put Derek Carr on a lower level than that, Kirk Cousins on a lower level than that, Alex Smith on a lower level than that. But those guys I just mentioned are all in that category of very good quarterbacks you can win a Super Bowl with, and also guys I would not pay $30 million a year for. And, oh, interesting, NFL literally just tweeted out a graphic of the NFL's top 5 highest paid quarterbacks. Total contract value, Matt Ryan, then Jimmy Garoppolo, then Matt Stafford, then Derek Carr, then Andrew Luck. I have the most straight up doubt about Derek Carr, and we haven't seen very much from Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know what I would have done if I was in the Niners' shoes there.
And Andrew Luck is the full potential guy, but then also can't stay on the field.
Right. Andrew Luck, actually, those category of guys, Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson and Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan, I understand how you talk yourself into making those guys $30 million a year players. But I think once you do, your chance to win with them is very, very limited. Andrew Luck possibly being the least limiting of those guys if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, you're bleeped for 5 years. If he is healthy, he might be able to make that next step. But here's the thing.
But also, he just needs a good team around him.
Yeah, he needs some competence around him, which it seems like he's maybe getting. The Colts drafted like 74 offensive linemen this draft. So it all, like, that all has to come together. But the thing that you just said, though, Beards, that I actually think is right on the mark is saying he just needs to have a good team around him. it's really, really hard to put a good team around a $30 million year quarterback. You have to make very few mistakes elsewhere, and you have to get very good value everywhere else. You're making it very difficult on yourself.
I don't remember. How good was that team that beat the Chiefs?
The Colts team?
Yeah.
It was. I mean, they lost the next round, I believe.
Okay.
And Andrew Luck took that game over. He had.
But that
T.Y.
was like
Hilton.
Year one or two of.
It was. I think
Andrew
it was
Luck.
Year two or three of Andrew Luck.
Yeah. You're expecting him to get better as he goes along as well.
Yes, and he's there though. He's very
but not
close
like Super
to that.
Bowl contending, sure.
But
with
maybe
that team with that team
right. The AFC is it was and everything. I mean, yeah, and I have to double check. But whenever we're talking about this class of quarterbacks, you can make an argument either direction. But your window of your margin of error is so limited. I would give Aaron Rodgers $50 million a year. He could have half of my salary cap. I would give that to Tom Brady, and that's probably the whole list.
Maybe a Peyton Manning when he was actually in his
peak. Oh, yeah, no, of course. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, like current guys.
But guys who are currently in the league at their current stages in their career, I'd give it to Aaron Rodgers. I'd give him $50 million a year for 5 years. I'd rather not, but if it got to there. And I'm guessing his will be close to 40. But outside of those guys, I would have an unbelievably difficult time doing that. Because the ability to win without Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or maybe Ben Roethlisberger, winning without those guys is almost impossible unless you have a quarterback at value. And I talk about this a lot, and it's just today's another time to talk about it. If I was an NFL GM, I would be drafting guys and trying to win on rookie deals, and I would have another guy in line to take over a year or two before your current guy does. So if the guy that you just drafted isn't Aaron Rodgers, and you don't think he's going to become Aaron Rodgers, then you let him go and you go next man up. And it's hard to commit to that because it's very risky. And if you're an NFL general manager and you have Matt Ryan, you'd rather just pay him $150 million and keep your job for the next 5 years because he's not going to cost you your job. He also just probably isn't going to win you a Super Bowl. The best strategy for winning a Super Bowl is to either keep gambling on rookie contracts or find yourself into the path of an elite quarterback. The best path to staying employed in the NFL for 10 years is to have Matt Ryan. And so I would bet right now that the Falcons don't win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. Like, that would just be my bet right now. MLB Network keeps showing this video of someone for the Blue Jays sliding into third base and scraping his face on the dirt, and it looks terrible.
No, thank you.
It's awful. I've seen it 10 times.
I'm good. I'm good with just watching the Raptors do the exact same thing in the playoffs to the Cavs.
Ugh. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, Matt Ryan. So I'm not going to roast the Falcons. I don't think this is the same as giving Derek Carr what the Raiders gave him. This might even be better than giving Jimmy Garoppolo what the Niners gave him. We just don't really know about Garoppolo. It's a very expensive way to find out. But I just don't think it's the smartest way to go about it. And Matt Ryan is right on the line. Where whenever he was in Atlanta with the offensive coordinator, that's another head coach of the 49ers, dang it. Beards, can you just hum the music, please? Kyle Shanahan, never mind, I got it. Without Kyle Shanahan last year, the Falcons offense really took a step backwards. That would make me a little bit nervous. Matt Ryan without Kyle Shanahan didn't seem to be the same quarterback. And again, reasonable to invest in Matt Ryan. But if the Chiefs 4 years from now have gotten Matt Ryan production out of Patrick Mahomes, and then Andy Reid retires after the third year, and then the fourth year Mahomes takes a big step back, I'm probably going to find myself out here saying, you know what? I'm gonna try again with the next rookie quarterback instead of giving that production $150 million at that point, $200 million probably with the way that the cap changes. But it's really, really difficult. Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, maybe better than anybody else, the guys that are the hardest to gauge that way. Russell Wilson's going to be around that. But he's won with amazing talent around him. Because you can afford better talent because you're getting paid like the third round pick that you were, as opposed to getting paid like a Super Bowl winning quarterback. It's kind of like the opposite of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like whenever you start getting paid like a Super Bowl winning quarterback, it gets really, really hard for you to start winning to start winning Super Bowls, depending on who you are.
It's a paradox.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling paradox.
Sure.
Sure.
Paradox works fine, but okay.
It's not really paradoxical.
They label you Super Bowl winning quarterback, but you can't win one?
Or when you become one and start getting paid like one, then you stop being one. Paradox.
Sure.
Whenever you start getting paid like a Super Bowl winning quarterback, then you stop being one.
Then you're a Schrodinger's cat. I don't know.
Schrodinger's quarterback. You both are and are not a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Fair.
Or a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Caliber is probably a better word. So yeah, whenever you start getting paid like a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, you stop becoming one. And there are like I don't know, 5 to 10 guys in the league that fit in that scope. And that's like quarterback like 3 through 7 or 8. It's difficult, but it's a small window there.
I just opened up Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and you know how they'll have those promoted tweets or whatever that are ads sometimes.
Yeah.
Allegra just popped up. Nasal congestion relief ahead, if only.
See, I'm not really congested. I just, my eyes hurt. But I think if I shoot Flonase into my eyeballs, I'm going to have a bigger problem.
Ooh, yeah. Let's do that. Let's film that. We'll put it on Facebook Live.
My eyes watered just thinking about it. Just kidding. My eyes have been watering for 3 days. And so James brings up a really good point in the comments here on the Facebook page. He says, is that why Brady didn't get paid? He says, LOL. But, like, that question is reason. Like, not as a Schrodinger's quarterback, but on a practical level, Brady being paid like the 10th or 12th best paid quarterback in football, whichever it is, and I'll find where he is for this season. But Brady making like $12 million a year or whatever helps keep that window more open. And I don't know that it's fair to ask that of Tom Brady. And I think Tom Brady still would have won Super Bowls if he would have been paid always as the highest paid quarterback in all of football. But would he have won one fewer? Maybe. I think he is one of the currently two guys in football that is definitely transcendent to that level. But it still helps to have an extra, let's see. I'm on over the cap right now, the quarterback position rankings. Tom Brady is making an average of $20.5 million a year. With only $28 million guaranteed. And that's $500,000 more per year than Sam Bradford is making with the Cardinals this year. Sam Bradford is making $20 million this year.
Russell, it seems like very few guys that will do that, take the pay cut thing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of ridiculous.
Like, Dirk did it forever and does it forever, and it's very publicized that he does it, but also Dallas just hasn't had the ability to put a good team around him.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron did that for a while and then decided, nah, I'm going to make all the money now.
I'm going to make money, please. Thank you. Yeah, like, and I don't begrudge anyone for doing that. Like, I imagine it's nice to, like, get paid what you think you're worth. Like, that, I would never.
There is that little fine balance between being paid what you think you're worth, and then being able to then have the ability for the team to put guys around you
right.
that you need.
But also, though, for the quarterbacks, though, that's not these guys' jobs, though. And this is a case where, especially in the NBA, you've got five guys on the floor at a time.
Sure.
Your window for that is smaller, and the impact that each dollar has is bigger. But like this year, here are quarterbacks being paid better than Tom Brady. Not close to, or just less than, better. Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Alex Smith, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins. 15 guys making more than Tom Brady. Just below Tom Brady, Sam Bradford, Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton. Slit my wrists. Andy Dalton's making $4 million less than Tom Brady this year. But
Brady's also in the good position, though, where his wife makes more money than he does.
Yeah, but also, like, that, I think that's also slightly overblown, because if Aaron Rodgers decided to make what Chase Daniel is making this year, which is like $5 million this year, or $5 million average each year, like, they would still be able to live in the same house, probably. I think that's a little bit
You need a good GM.
Overblown, but anyway, Matt Ryan's making $30 million a year now. The averages are, you know, Cousins at 28, Garoppolo 27.5, Stafford 27, Carr 25, Brees 25, Luck 25, Alex Smith 23.5, Joe Flacco 22. Like the Ravens are the case study here that is my favorite. Where they won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, not because of Joe Flacco, with Joe Flacco. And then they paid Joe Flacco like a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and then he never was again. Now they traded up to draft Lamar Jackson because they are going to try to get away from Joe Flacco's contract as soon as possible and try with someone else at a better value. Joe Flacco is making an average of $22 million per year. Lamar Jackson's making an average of $2 million per year. That's the price of, like, any free agent you want. Whatever you think Ndamukong Suh is worth, or Von Miller if he hits free agency, or Justin Houston if he hits free agency. Guys like that. Guys of that caliber. Any free agent you want, maybe any two free agents you want. That's like the Chiefs went and got Sammy Watkins with the money they would have owed to Alex Smith. Pat Mahomes plus Sammy Watkins was Alex Smith financially. So I wonder if the Falcons made the right move here. What are you laughing at, Beards?
Lawrence Police Department Twitter is always great.
Uh-huh, very good.
They do like tweet-alongs.
Yeah.
And so this tweet says, while we are between calls, Officer McCann wants to let everybody know that he is off shift at 3 a.m. and will be on Fortnite on Xbox after work, ready to dominate any challengers that come his way.
That's awesome. Rashard says, Joe Flacco had 11 touchdowns and zero picks in that playoff run to the Super Bowl, and it was all because of him. It wasn't all because of him. That team, especially defensively, was mind-boggling. But Flacco was very, very good in the playoffs.
He got hot during the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
There were still, the running gag of, is Joe Flacco elite?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing that now for, like,
ten years,
almost. He was great on that playoff run, absolutely. And he hasn't been that since then. I don't think we can say that the fluke is him not being great since then, or being that great before that. And again, you can invest in the defense and the players around a guy whenever he's not making Super Bowl winning money. We need to take a commercial break, right? I mean, we have a very short commercial hour, so we're going to be okay.
Well, I made it. They're all 3-minute breaks now.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I imagine that this commercial that you're about to play, as soon as I throw it a break, is probably going to be a commercial about indigestion.
See for yourself.
Go ahead, and can you put the commercials in the Facebook feed also?
Actually, I didn't load that ad.
You didn't? Nope. I went to the Facebook to get to see if I was right.
No,
or not.
I did, but it was later.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be the first break of the next hour.
No, it was the...
I don't care. Go to... I'm taking my headphones out. My headphones are out. I can't even hear what happens next. Go to break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sam Bradford is to quarterbacking as Sam Bradford is to handsomeness.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Can you score with him? I think so.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I know I say this a lot, but like the liners are the best thing we can do here. Like at the very least, it's a reminder that sometimes it's funny. Rashad says, Ravens lead the NFL in compensatory picks for a reason. Everybody leaves for more money. There were like five guys left from the Super Bowl team 2 years ago after winning it. The Ravens do a very good job of that. Like, I don't know how often the Ravens are caught overpaying for guys. And I'm not just dunking on the Ravens, but obviously the Flacco thing ended up being the wrong investment. Like, it's just, that seems relatively clear. Even though the Ravens have been very good at that for the most part, you got to get her at the quarterback position, and they haven't been good since they signed Flacco to that monster deal. That's where I'm at. Like, this is really not specifically about the Ravens, but with the attitude at the quarterback position, I'm trying to stay on topic because there's something completely unrelated that Beards and I can't stop giggling at, and we can't tell you. I'm sorry. I hate that, and I hate that. I hate that so much. Nothing in radio makes me angry as a listener.
Not our fault this time.
Also true.
Blame Lebo. He came by.
Nothing in radio or in all of media makes me angrier whenever there's an inside joke that I, the listener, am not allowed to hear, and I am genuinely so sorry for putting you, the listener, through that. Right now.
But I'm having a lot of fun.
Oh, so my eyes hurt.
If you stopped rubbing them.
I can't.
Put your sunglasses on.
And I haven't been here. I don't want to wear your sunglasses. I'll become Bosh Driscoll again. We'll talk
also
about quarterbacks.
Let's not have that.
I actually don't know. I have my
also.
Big
I don't know
shiny.
If your allergies will like seep onto my sunglasses, and then I put them on. She's like, "Oh, yeah. My eye!"
You don't want whatever's oozing out of
the
my
equivalent
eyes.
Of pepper spray.
Yeah. The Diamondbacks are wearing their purple throwbacks today. I love those uniforms.
I don't think I've seen these.
They wore them throughout like their first like 10 seasons. Yeah, I don't think I have any sunglasses in here. I'll wear some of my most fun sunglasses tomorrow if I remember.
Are they the? No, that wouldn't be them.
Today they're wearing the purple tops. But just even like the old purple and teal color scheme.
Arizona is one of those teams I forget has a baseball team.
That's fair.
It's like them and the Padres. I always forget the Padres exist.
The Padres also should go back to their old color scheme. It's brown and yellow, but it's good. Probably going to sneeze again here in a minute. Can't start a new point because I know it's about to... Here we go. About to pop off.
How are you doing over there?
Terrible.
No. I'm sorry about that.
Get it?
I don't know.
I feel pretty good about having the carved out niche of being the radio show that
sneezes into the microphone. It's a good thing you don't use one of those pop filters.
I also don't sneeze into the microphone. I sneeze when the microphone is on.
I mean, thank goodness for that.
Rashad has a good quarterback question that I don't feel like I can physically talk about right now because I don't want to sneeze halfway through the discussion.
Do you need me to read the question?
See if I sneeze. All right, one sneeze for yes, two sneezes for no. Go ahead, Beard, read the question.
Do either of you, which obviously he just means Josh because I don't know anything about this.
You can still have an answer.
Sure. Do either of you have any concern that Patrick Mahomes is a Big 12 quarterback in the history, doesn't fare well in the NFL? One for yes, two for no?
No, that wasn't a sneeze. That was me blowing my nose. So that's a maybe. It's a maybe. No. So I don't actually have that concern about Mahomes specifically. So I think you have to do that in cases of specifics. Now, the things that you can't have specific questions about is how does the offense translate? How does his skill set translate? These are the questions you can ask realistically about quarterbacks making the transition from college to the pros. Again, those are totally reasonable questions to ask. For Mahomes specifically, I'm not worried. Air raid offense, being at Texas Tech, a team with no defense, yada, yada, yada. Those are all things we talked about several times. We all talked about before that draft, after the draft, all last season, all off season. And I'm just not worried because I've seen the skill set and what he's capable of and what he does consistently. That's not a guy that I'm worried about not being able to perform against better competition. So, no, I guess. And I think some of that's overstated. Like, if Baker Mayfield is or isn't good, I don't think it really means anything for the discussion that gets stuck around Big 12 quarterbacks. If Sam Darnold is or isn't good, I don't think it really says anything about USC quarterbacks. Patterns showing up, are good for some fodder, but I think you have to evaluate the guys individually.
Well, here, let me ask you this question because I don't think I know the answer to this. So is the Big 12 quarterback thing a national topic?
Or is it
a Big 12 topic because it is Big 12 teams?
I think it's a national topic.
Okay. Well,
but it's a national topic within draft season when you need a topic.
Okay. Well, my counterpoint to that was going to be there are how many quarterbacks in college football every year that get that go for the draft or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them do well.
How many of them pan out? Right.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin came out of the Big 12 and looked great until he got hurt.
Sure. Like,
you're going to find guys that break the expectation and also guys that fit it. So if you say USC is always going to keep turning out quarterbacks that can't play, you're going to end up finding guys that fit that. That's also specific enough that that's a thread that gets kept a lot.
With or the ACC quarterbacks or something like that.
You can go find, like, ooh, Andrew Luck, is Stanford a quarterback factory? No. No, it's not. And maybe you need two. Maybe you need two examples of something like that. And you've got two bust Big 12 quarterbacks, but if Mahomes looks good and then Baker Mayfield looks good, and all of a sudden now are you taking the opposite approach? Probably not. You just sort of stick with the thread that existed before. So for the most part, it's a good question. For the most part, I don't get terribly caught up in that type of analysis. Because there needs to be either a more consistent sample or a larger, or if there is a smaller sample size, it's got to be like flawless. And if there is a larger sample size with some hits and misses, it eventually starts to really decrease in meaning for me. And we can go through and look at all the Big 12 quarterbacks that have gone pro and all the ones that have been, first-round picks even. And I'm off the top of my head, I'm thinking we're probably going to have mostly bad ones. We're mostly going to have mostly bad experiences. But I don't think that Brandon Weeden impacts Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. You know what I mean? I'm guessing that makes sense to most people. But, like, that's where I end up. The game that Mahomes played in college was so different than whatever, the game that Brandon Weeden played at Oklahoma State. Brandon Weeden was the 22nd pick. And, like, again, Johnny Manziel, those Browns quarterbacks, like, is this going to become an indictment? Is it going to become an indictment on his sample size, that indictment on short quarterbacks? Well, you go over and you get Drew Brees, like, and Russell Wilson. You can come up with the infamous busts and then find a comparable guy. And Rashad says, I think it always becomes a discussion because of where some of those Big 12 quarterbacks are drafted at, which is pretty high. And no, I understand why it becomes a conversation. It's a fine conversation. And the logic behind it, I see. Like, it's fine. I don't put much stock in it, though, personally. Maybe if it's where you start a conversation, then so be it. If that is the extent of your analysis, then it's problematic. If you go, well, I don't know, Big 12 quarterback struggled the pros, then I would just kind of blink at you a few times and go, okay, wait, so what about Patrick Mahomes, though? What about the specifics of this quarterback? And that's where that shifts for me. All right, I'm going to take a break, and for one part, because we have to play commercial breaks, it's how we stay on the air, and for another part, I've got to blow my nose again. I'm more currently concerned with the latter of the two.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I wanted to legally change your middle name to Beards? What would that take? If this show was...
I mean, a working computer mouse would be great.
With Joshua Briscoe.
All right, so $8 an hour and a working computer mouse, and you'll change your middle name from Curtis to Beards.
That's a discussion starter.
How much would it take for you to change your name to Dick Justice?
On ESPN Kansas City.
I did some Googling in the break because I wanted to make sure I had all my info here. There's a Reddit thread from a year ago talking about the quarterbacks drafted this decade from Big 12 schools. And I think the specifics of this pan out of what I was trying to get at. Landry Jones, not really a part of this conversation. Geno Smith was 11-19. This actually, although that might not include, it wouldn't include the stuff that happened with the Giants last year. But Geno Smith was a guy that, like, everyone was kind of reluctantly talking about in that 2013 draft. Brandon Whedon was I guess, disappointing for 22nd overall pick, but that was always kind of bizarre. Ryan Tannehill's been a pretty good NFL quarterback. Robert Griffin certainly was. Blaine Gabbert stinks. Colt McCoy never really got his footing, although he played in more games than I thought he did. And Sam Bradford has had a very successful NFL career. He's been plagued by injuries. Robert Griffin has been plagued by injuries. Even Colt McCoy, I think, had like a bunch. Did he have a bunch of concussions or something? I feel like Colt McCoy had like,
not that I remember.
Okay, maybe I'm making that up.
Oh, look.
Tannehill just missed a season with an injury. Like, you could look at this and also go, "Oh man, Big 12 quarterbacks get hurt a lot." It's not something I'm willing to buy into enough to worry about Mahomes. The thing you can look at is what offenses did these guys play, and then what offense did Mahomes play? Mahomes played an air raid offense. And so with that being said, like, that's something you can be worried about. But we saw him last year, and we're seeing how the offense is changing for Patrick Mahomes. That makes me feel a whole lot better about it. Mike asks about Mahomes' durability. Smaller guy, first season taking NFL hits. I saw him working in the pocket in that Broncos game, and it just seems like he's going to have a pretty good time getting away from guys. So, something to think of, but also, he's not going to be trying to play on the run as much as any of those guys we just talked about. I mean, Bradford, obviously, not a mobile quarterback either, but not terribly worried.
2011 against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 14, McCoy threw two interceptions and no touchdowns and 3-14 loss, where he also suffered a concussion.
Okay.
His father raised eyebrows when he questioned whether or not McCoy's team had properly evaluated him for concussion prior to returning to the game.
Okay.
McCoy stated that he did not remember anything. James Harrison, the Steelers player responsible for the helmet-to-helmet hit on McCoy, was subsequently punished by being suspended for the Steelers' next game against the 49ers.
Got it. Okay. I knew there was something concussion-based, Evan.
There was an ankle injury as rookie year, and then that, I think that, yeah, that's it.
Christopher says that he, I guess he means Mahomes here, had a terrible line in college. His awareness would get him out of a lot of potential big hits. I think he's on the money with this on Mahomes, where he has been in situations where he should have gotten his licks in. Like, the offensive line he was playing behind might actually end up being a gift to the Chiefs, because he is comfortable keeping himself alive in the pocket.
Also, he's not small.
What did you have? Did you pull up?
6'3".
Huh.
230 pounds.
Yeah, that's probably about average.
So, let's see. Tom Brady is 6'4", 225.
What was Robert Griffin?
Robert Griffin is 6'2", 223.
About right.
Kirk Cousins 6'3", Kaepernick 6'4", Luck 6'4", Bradford 6'4", Smith 6'4", Bridgewater
6'4". That's funny. I think of Andrew Luck as being like a kind of a big quarterback, and he's the same height as Tom Brady, I think you just said.
You
don't have to Google it again. It's fine.
Well,
you can be reckless.
I still got to pull that.
Okay.
Luck was 6'4". Brady is, I think 6'4".
That's funny.
Manziel 6'5".
So, yeah, I think that a very self-aware Pat Mahomes is good news. And I'm not worried about Mahomes for conference-based reasons. Worries about Mahomes can exist one in one form or another. I obviously am in a pretty optimistic place here. Also, I feel like I don't know if I've been as clear about this as I should be. I don't even think I've gotten into like telling you that Mahomes is going to be one of the top five quarterbacks in the league in a little while. He might be, but I don't know. The thing that I do know is that he is going to be undoubtedly a great value. And at least you got to find out exactly what that value looks like and how good he can be. That's why there should be nothing but optimism for this season, because you're finding things out. And the ceiling is obviously just unfathomably high. Whenever people talk about the hype around Mahomes and everything, I think if there is a danger of overhyping him, it's because you're reading the hype wrong, maybe. I don't know. I'm just... Not you specifically. Not any you specifically.
What did you say about me?
Oh, stop it. I hope that makes sense. The hype can exist and the optimism can exist and can also be proven reasonable and true and logical even without him automatically becoming Aaron Rodgers. That seems like that might not be something that I clarify as well as often as I should. You can apparently... Why am I buying pollen on the internet? Anita tweeted and said, you can go to any vitamin shop for bee pollen in pill form. I feel like I want less pollen in my body.
I feel like that's one of those...
that's a placebo thing, right?
Well, no.
You're getting at? No?
Like just your normal flu shot or whatever, where it's like part of the virus that they inject into you to build your immune system to it. It's like they inject a dead form of it.
But I have so much of it in me already.
Don't know. I'm not a doctor, Jim.
I'll continue to do my research on this.
Tomorrow, I'm expecting you to like take one of these pollen pills, and tomorrow you just come in with your face completely swollen and can't talk.
I mean, I'm going to come in tomorrow.
Welcome to Anderson Parish.
I'm going to either come in tomorrow looking like Bob the Tomato or like just hovering above the ground.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought for sure you had... I thought you had a joke on a tee there.
I don't think so.
Really? Whenever I said I'm out like Bob Tomato, I thought for sure you were going to say, oh, almost entirely sports with Charlie Carlin.
No.
I thought for sure you were going there and you didn't.
Nope.
All right, sorry, Charlie. That was unfair.
He's not watching.
He might be listening.
Charlie, call in if you're listening. You have 3 seconds.
2, 1. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.